Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Crackcast.
Checkity check, check, checkity check. All right. Not rapping this week.
No, not this time. They got to pay for more shows if they want that.
That's it. You got to subscribe for more. That's bonus content.
Yeah, there you go. I like how we're wearing different color hoodies. Like we planned it.
You know, I wondered to myself as I was walking out the door, did I wear this hoodie last week? I know this hoodie is in it's in heavy weekend rotation.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I just want them to know, I want the listeners to know during the week, I wear other things. I have more than one shirt.
It's mainly the Mandalorian armor or the Ghostbusters suit, right?
Exactly. Yeah. But you know, there's A days, there's B days. You know, it's a rotation.
There you go.
Definitely wearing the sunglasses today because winter is just every time I think we're done, winter's like, well, hold on, I got another 5 inches for you.
Oh man.
And if there's anything I don't like, it's 5 inches I wasn't expecting.
I was wondering if you were going to get a joke like that.
Yeah,
you guys got another round, right?
Yeah, we got another round. I got another round of sickness in my house, so you know, that's good. Just regular old, good old American sickness, not special 21st century Chinese sickness. So.
Has it been put together that you went and saw the family and then now everyone's sick?
I don't think it's that. I think it's my son went to school.
It was
the first week without masks.
Yeah.
A third of his class was out sick after that. Again, you know, nothing to do with COVID.
Yeah, kids are germ factories,
just,
period.
Just kids are germ factories. And, you know, for the last 2 years they've been forced to wear this barrier on their face that prevents them from touching their nose and their mouth. That's
right.
That's where the majority of this comes from, is mm-hmm. that the world is dirty. You touch the world with your fingers and then you touch your face with your dirty fingers. So if masks did anything, I think it was that. I don't think it was filtering the air around you, but whatever. That's a different discussion.
We have the weirdest thing going up here in Idaho. So there is going to be a giant Aryan Nations rally in the next couple weeks. Yeah. And the funny thing is, people are more upset that Idaho has the perception of being racist and then going, but we keep hosting these events and we don't know why people think we're racist.
Well, I mean, the state is not hosting.
Right, but they allow
the event you can't allow it. It's constitutionally protected activity. You know, I tell people all the time, you have a constitutional right to be an asshole, and some people exercise that right more than others. And you know, if you're part of the Aryan Nation, you're an asshole. But
yeah.
When you start walking around the world and saying, you're an asshole, you are not entitled to this, you're an asshole, you're not entitled to this.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's literally fascism.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
it's just, it's wild, man.
I don't know.
You can tell the people that are getting excited for it, and it sucks, and yeah.
you know, it's one of these things where I often say, shit like this is why the aliens won't talk to us. Right. But at the same time, it's if they did talk to us, like everyone in the world would realize, you know, hey, I'm not so different than that black guy or that brown guy or that yellow right. guy or that white guy. You know, hey, I have two arms and two legs and two eyes and nose and a mouth and that thing I saw on the news yesterday, I don't even know what he's got. So
we're in the mirror universe, aren't we?
I don't know. The most realistic scene, the most realistic scene in Independence Day was when the Israelis and the Palestinians were like, hey, you want to stop fighting each other and fight these aliens and yeah. destroy us? Okay, yeah, that sounds like a pretty good idea. That was the most realistic scene in the whole movie.
That is humanity in a nutshell right there. Look, we'll fight later. First, let's go fight these guys, and then we'll fight.
This isn't over, but we're going to take care of this. This isn't over. I'm not forgetting.
Ugh. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
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 But your weekend was good overall, though, other than the sickness?
Yeah, I guess. Got a bunch of new people starting at work.
Oh, cool.
In the next few weeks. It's going to pick up a lot of the slack that has fallen on us who are there and have been there for several years. So it's weird when it's a weekend and you're excited about work next week. But it's like, you know, it's a weekend. I'm excited about work next week because once these people start, I can relax on the weekends.
Well, I mean, Space Force is growing, right? So
it is. It is. Yeah. Yes, Space Force is growing.
You do combat training, right, with phasers and the pulse cannons, and
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Yep. We had a emergency satellite repair mission last week. That was, you know, it was fun. Anytime you get to travel.
Yes.
You know, just being somewhere different. You know,
get that astronaut ice cream.
Yeah. Yeah. So you know. Chad's in Germany, and you know, that's cool. I was fixing satellites last week.
Oh, quaint.
So, you know, how quaint.
Traveling only that far, how quaint.
Oh, man, do we know what's going on with him? He had, like, a multi-leg trip to come back. Did he start his insane. Trip? Was his trip delayed?
I don't know. He was taking a clipper ship, right? That's how he was coming back.
He looked into boring through the Earth. Apparently, it's a shorter trip if he were to bore through the Earth, but I guess it wasn't feasible. I don't know.
I picture him on a ship and then like being like a castaway, just landing on an island. Him and his volleyball that I don't know what you would name it, but
oh man,
doing a podcast into rocks.
Then he gets hate mail from the rocks.
Yeah. These damn liberal twigs.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, my
He's going to listen to all this and laugh his ass off.
That's fine. That's fine. Yeah. Hey, when is this convention? It's in April, right?
I finally decided to look it up because I was we haven't talked about any plans, have we?
No, we haven't. We haven't.
It's the second weekend of April.
Okay.
I
should probably put in... for some leave.
Yeah.
Figure out, you know, how I'm getting there, where I'm staying, you know, the details. The devil's in the details.
Well, I thought about, would it be better or easier for us to get like an Airbnb, the three of us?
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Like, it was just an idea I had. Yeah.
I don't know.
See, we haven't planned anything. So.
Yeah. I've never done that.
Neither have I.
Okay.
Yeah. I know that if you're a homeowner, it's a really bad idea to do it.
Yeah. I've heard some horror stories.
Yeah. So, whatever. We can try someone else's house.
All right.
Yeah. I'm going to ask the convention for press passes as well. So we'll see what
happens. All right. Yeah. Cool. So I think there was some Star Trek on TV this week.
There was. There was whole 2.5 episodes if you count the Will Wheaton show, which I watched. I suffer for the show.
I watched which one did I watch? There's been two. One for each episode of Picard, right?
Yeah.
The
first one had Patrick Stewart in it, and then the other one had Q.
All right, yeah. I didn't watch the one with Delancey, but I watched the one with Patrick. Okay. And I can't believe that Will Wheaton has known Patrick Stewart for 35 years.
Yeah.
Because he's such a giddy schoolgirl just talking on the phone with him. Like he's met him for the first time. It was weird.
So I've watched enough of this show.
Is he always like that? Is that just how he is?
Okay, so I kind of came to this realization this morning as I was watching the Will Wheaton show. And I think he is playing a character on the show.
You think so?
I think so. I don't think he's really that excited. I think he's excited, but I think he's excited like you and I or Chad. Like, it's my buddy and I'm going to talk to him. But I think he plays it up for the show because he's got to build up the fan base.
Yeah, okay.
At least that's what I tell myself, because that's more normal reaction than what he's doing.
I guess the way to know would be to maybe when he guest stars on Picard, he'll do an interview on another show. we can see if he's a total nerd on somebody else's show as opposed to his own. But he's also
the kind of guy that wears his heart on his sleeve, right? Like his emotions are just out there.
I suppose.
So like he might legitimately feel that way, but he turns it up. You know?
He's Gordy.
Yeah.
Hey, are we in the show or are we just chatting? I think we're in the show.
Yeah.
Welcome to Trekcast, the galaxy's most unpredictable Star Trek podcast. It's unpredictable because sometimes we do the intro 10 minutes in.
Yeah, that's what we do.
I'm one of your hosts, Dan Lombardo, with me, Daniel Reyes.
Hola.
Chad Waldo's on special assignment. He's currently boring his way through the center of the earth.
He's repairing relations with the German show.
That's it. He's part of the Trekcast exchange program.
Yes.
He's been on the German show.
It's like when Bashir was on TNG, right? He's over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to say it right, though. It's like that one weird episode where Bashir was on TNG and was totally out of character and wasn't wearing
really
shoes.
Really obsessed with Data for some reason.
Yeah.
And never obsessed with robots again.
You know, it's funny sometimes you watch earlier episodes of Deep Space Nine. You rewatch them knowing that he's a genetically modified mutant. And you're like, yeah, they came up with that storyline like 15 minutes before they dropped it.
Yep.
Because it just doesn't fit.
No, not at all.
Doesn't fit. It was a good storyline. I love it. But you could tell they just came up with that after the fact.
Mm-hmm. Or how Gen Z is like completely different in the first couple seasons. Like she's very unsure of herself. She's very like.
Yeah. She's kind of reserved. Too. Yeah. And then it was like symbiotes gone wild.
Yeah. Well, and they can just headcanon it by saying, well, she was just getting used to the symbiote and that's it.
Yep.
Yeah. It's an easy out.
That's true. Yeah. That is true.
Should we get to the news?
Yeah. Why not?
All right.
Let's do it.
So our first news story comes to us from digitalspy.com. And the headline is, Star Trek Strange New World teases why Discovery characters may return. Maybe. I don't know. But, we got our first real big teaser trailer of Strange New Worlds. And it looks like Captain Pike is growing a beard. He's got a lot more salt and pepper hair. And he's riding a horse in the snow while spaceships fly over him. So, in my head, he's going to save Christmas. We got a lot of quick little shots of future episodes. It's going to be a 10-episode series, at least for the first season. We do know they've already confirmed a season 2, so that's cool. But yeah, did you watch the trailer, Dan?
I did not.
Ooh.
I did not. I think after the show, that's something I'm going to do.
Okay. Yeah, we had two big trailers. We had that and we had Kenobi. So Kenobi had slightly more views.
I did not watch Kenobi either.
Well, hello there.
Wait, did I? I watched... no, I did. I did. Because there's a scene with him watching, like, five-year-old Luke play on something from afar. Yeah. Yeah, I did see that.
That weird gamer.
Yeah.
With the binoculars.
Yeah. He's a crazy old wizard. Don't talk to him. But, yeah, Uncle Owen. It looks like it's the same guy from the... from the prequels who played Uncle Owen. So that's kind of cool. We got Ewan McGregor back. We got that guy back. What's his name? Hayden Christensen.
And Hayden Christensen has promised that Darth Vader will be extremely powerful in this season.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. Yeah.
That is kind of cool. Well, I mean, that would fit with kind of the Vader 2.0 that we saw in
Rogue One,
where he was just tearing it up.
Yeah.
So that would be cool. One thing that's interesting, I don't think James Earl Jones has been officially attached to this.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen that either. I was going to say, have you seen the edit online? Somebody put that Drowning Pool song, Let the Bodies Hit the Floor, as Darth Vader's tearing through everybody.
I did not see that. I did see a few years ago somebody re-edited, and they must have, like, used digital CGI or whatever. But they redid the fight from A New Hope between Obi-Wan and Darth Vader and made it more akin to the types of fights that happened in the prequels. You know, if you watch the lightsaber battles in the original
trilogies, they're all jumping in.
It's like, well, in the original trilogy, it's basically, it's more like fencing than you know, kung fu sword fighting that we saw in the prequels. So, excuse me. Somebody CGI'd it and gave it a little more flair. But, so James Earl Jones hasn't been attached. And people are wondering if he's actually going to be doing the voice, or if they're going to have somebody else, because I guess his voice has changed.
Yeah, in the years, and they've had other people.
He's, voice. You know, he's 90 years old. So, yeah, other people have done it in video games and whatnot, and done a pretty good job. Was he in? I still haven't watched Clone Wars or Rebels or any of those cartoons. Was he in any of that?
I don't know for sure. I'm on IMDb right now because I'm looking for James Earl Jones. And let's see, Clone Wars. Let's try season 2 because why not?
Well, he probably wouldn't be in Clone Wars because that takes place between episodes 2 and 3.
But what Rebels, was the one? Rebels, I think.
Yeah, Rebels. Bad Batch. I don't know if he was in, if Vader was featured in any of those.
Hold on, I'm looking up Rebels. He did voice the character in the original trilogy, is what it's saying. He reprised his role as Darth Vader in Star Wars Rebels.
Okay.
So there you go.
Then the other thing I'm wondering,
his IMDb, James Earl Jones. That'd be easy.
I mean, the other thing is they may have done what they did with Majel Barrett, where they just record his phonetic voice.
Oh, yeah, and they can just put it together.
For use later.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. He doesn't sound exactly the same. Just like Picard doesn't sound exactly the same as he
used. No. Picard sounds like he's clearing his throat half the time.
But, yeah, okay, so whatever. There was that trailer. The next news story comes to us from TrekMovie.com. And Chris Pine says that the cast is ready and excited for the 2023 movie, but waiting for the script. So, he did an interview recently on his new project called All the Old Knives, which kind of looks like a Jason Bourne type movie. I don't know if you've seen that trailer.
Yep.
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
No, I haven't.
It looks cool.
I think it's funny how he's speaking for the whole cast. It's like that news dropped 2 weeks ago, and they got on a Zoom call with each other. Like, did you talk to? I didn't talk to. Did you talk to? I didn't talk to anybody. Yeah, I would do it.
I wouldn't be surprised if they have a group text, just like the Spider-Man actors and the Avenger actors.
Yeah.
But, he says, okay, so here's the best. The interviewer goes, so do you trust him that much that you signed on without a script? He goes, well, I don't trust anybody, but I'm excited. I love the story. I love Star Trek.
Well, good for him.
That might be the most honest answer.
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah.
I don't trust anybody.
Especially after Wonder Woman 84. Yeah.
God. So they just pushed all of those movies back.
Yeah, two of them.
Except Shazam. They moved it up. Which kind of makes sense since Black Adam is a Shazam character.
Yeah.
They need to remind people who Shazam is, maybe.
Well, and then there's speculation. I mean, there's been no confirmation of this whatsoever, but there's speculation that Batgirl will be pushed back to like a year from when it's supposed to come out.
Yeah.
Because it's supposed to be a Christmas movie this year. But if they're moving everything else and the timeline's all different, then it only stands to reason they would have to push it back another year to 2023. December 2023.
Well.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I mean, if you want to look at history, Batman Returns was a Christmas movie that came out in July.
Right. I mean, the Batman takes place in Halloween, and it's now.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't see that yet. I want to see it, but every day I look at the calendar, and I'm like, do I have 3.5 hours that I could run off by myself and do this? I'm like, nope, not today.
I went and saw it again yesterday.
Did you?
So excited. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I mean, you have to remember, Batman is my boy.
Yeah. No, I'm a, you know, I like Batman. It's a 3-hour movie, man.
Oh, I get it. But you know what? People weren't saying that for the Avengers, like Endgame or Spider-Man. And those were both nearly 3-hour movies.
Yeah.
So.
Except, again, those were movies that I could take my son to see.
That's true. So, you know what? I thought of you because there was a parent who had a little kid, I would say about your son's age, and they walked out about 45 minutes into the movie.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep. And she's probably saying to herself, I don't understand. We were at Target yesterday, and there's plush versions of all these characters.
Yeah.
There's remote control cars, and there's lunch boxes, and there's backpacks, and there's pencil cases that say the Batman with that guy's face on it.
Right.
Someday maybe they'll learn.
My new favorite meme is it's got Robert Pattinson from Twilight, and then it's got him side by side with the Batman. And it says that Robert Pattinson was so method for this movie that he brooded for 14 years as the Twilight guy in preparation for the role of Rudy Batman.
Yeah. I saw one that said, it's true, vampires turn into bats.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that one.
So right. There's been some talk that, and, you know, this is one of those rumors that comes up every now and then, but it's the rumor is back because of this merger that's maybe happening with what is it, Discovery and Warner Brothers or something?
Yeah. No, that's happened.
That's happened?
Okay. It is going to happen, yeah.
Well, they're saying that a lot of these DC movies are being pushed back because Henry Cavill is coming back, and they're going to be sprinkling him in to all of these other DC projects to give them some continuity of, you know, I mean, if you think of DC Comics, there's three characters that come to mind: Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman. They're the you know, the trilogy, the trifecta, whatever they call them. So, I mean, it would kind of help connect everything if their flagship superhero, the one that everyone is molded after, is in all these films. But
we'll see. I will say this. The head of Discovery is a really smart dude. I forget his name. But this is a guy who turned a small TV channel into a multi-billion dollar juggernaut with reality TV shows, right?
Yeah.
So he's used to making great content, well, arguably great, with small amount of money. And he's already come out and said that, like, Disney and Peacock and all those, HBO Max even, has come out before and said, oh, we're going to spend just a ton of money in making streaming shows, right? Well, this guy has come out and said, no, we're not going to just go blow a lot of money. We're going to make good content. That's what we're going to focus on.
Okay, well,
so that's already smarter in my book.
Yeah, well, that would be a change,
right? Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know about that rumor that you're talking about, but I like the focus on quality as opposed to
quantity. Well, to go along with that, I think Henry Cavill looks like Superman.
Yeah.
And he's a competent actor, but I have not been impressed with any of the projects that he's been in as Superman. So, you know, I'm not excited for him to just come back as Superman. That's not enough for me. If this guy from Discovery is going to, if he's going to micromanage the thing and make sure that, you know, it gets done right and we get some quality content, and it just happens to be Henry Cavill in the suit doing that, I'm cool with that. But if they're just going to bring him back for more of the same, I think it's a waste of time and money.
Yeah.
And, you know, I rewatched Batman versus Superman within the last, you know, I have to do it in shifts. I watch it in like 45
minutes. Did you like get sentenced by the court? What happened?
No, I was just like, you know what? It's been 5 years or whatever.
Yeah.
Let me watch this with fresh eyes.
Yeah.
And I sat down and I watched it and I said, no, this is still a piece of shit. This is still trash. This still does not make any sense. And it's still garbage. So
there is like a 9-minute clip that Jimmy Kimmel did when that movie first came out. And it's him inserting himself into the party scene with Lex Luthor and Superman and Batman.
And you mean the Riddler?
Really You
mean the Riddler? Because that's who he was playing.
Right.
He wasn't playing Lex Luthor. He was playing the Riddler, apparently. But anyway.
But it's 9 minutes, and it is hilarious.
Yeah.
And he just, like, rips on the movie and just breaks down the scenes and makes fun of them. It's the best. Like, that's the best 9 minutes of that film.
Yeah. Just some of the decisions they made in there. Like, you know, why? Batman branding criminals. Why?
Yeah.
Makes no sense.
Well, our last news story.
Yeah. So welcome to DC Cast. Variety.
And you now know it's official because it's in Variety. The headline is, what happened to Tarantino's Star Trek film? Every detail about his canceled pitch. So I guess that's the nail in the coffin. We don't have to talk about it anymore.
Okay.
Basically, this just kind of goes over another interview that was done with the screenwriter of this film. The screenwriter talks about how him and Tarantino would spend a lot of nights watching old gangster films and then making fun of them, and then how they wanted to put some of that into their Star Trek movie. They wanted it to be that the crew went back to the early 1920s gangster planet. And so that's kind of where the film would go. Yeah. He said that Tarantino absolutely loved Chris Pine as Captain Kirk. He said that it's not that Chris Pine did a great job of being Captain Kirk. He did a great job of being William Shatner, and that Zachary Quinto was great as Leonard Nimoy, not Spock. So he loved those two guys, and he definitely wanted to work with them, which makes sense. And yeah, so the movie is canceled, and Variety says so. And the other thing they report, huh?
I'm okay with that.
Here's the funny thing, right? Variety also reported that Paramount did market research to determine whether or not an audience was still interested in the reboot cast, right?
Yeah.
Especially being that it was such a long period. And they determined that there was enthusiasm for Pine and Quinto in the rest of the cast, but the studio still, at this point, right, when this came out, and this was like a week ago or 2 weeks ago, they weren't sure about coming out with another new Trek movie. And then they announced the new Trek movie. So there's that.
Yeah. they trust the numbers until the numbers are not what they want to hear. And right. Then they just do what they want to do anyway.
Right.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
Yeah. That's how it goes, man. That's how it goes. So.
All right.
Yeah.
So that's the news.
That's the news. All three stories of it. Let's see. Feedback?
I'm witnessing a crime here.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, I'm just looking over your shoulder.
Uh-huh.
See some property of the United States federal government.
That's right. Yeah.
Is that your laundry bin? Is that your official U.S. Postal Service issued laundry bin?
No, they because I signed up for like mail pickup for my dice. They gave me some boxes.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. I asked for some boxes and they said no. So I don't believe you. I'm making some calls. I'm calling the Postal Service liaison that we have on staff at Space Force.
You know how it works? I'll tell you how it worked. It was really funny. So there's a website where you can go sign up for it on the USPS website.
Yep.
And you sign up for it. And then like I filled out the big form and then it just says, you can either go down to your local branch and ask for them, or if you see your mail carrier, just go ask your mail carrier. Like, that was it. I filled out this whole form just to go walk up to the mail guy. And so I walked up to the mail guy, and he was like, oh, yeah, I've got some empty ones in the back here. Here you go. And that was it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I asked for one because, I mean, I do pickups.
Yeah.
I do pickups all the time. So I put them on the front porch in, like, a Target bag or something. And I said to the and sometimes I have to go in. And I said to the clerk, you know, I came in with my own tote and dumped 100 packages on the counter, and they're all pre-labeled. So, you know, I said, hey, if you want to give me one of those bins, just bring it in and leave the bin. She's like, no, that's fine. You can just dump them on the counter. Okay. That's fine.
Whatever. Just ask your mail person when they come up.
Yeah. No, no. Now I just dump them right on the floor. So there you go. I have some packages.
The defiance.
No, actually, I started doing the pickup all the time because I feel bad making the mail carrier walk up, you know, get out of her little truck and walk up to the door. So I said something to her one day, and she's like, "Oh no, keep scheduling them," because I guess when they, you know, they have a set amount of time to do their route.
Yeah,
and if they come back too late, you know, they get in trouble. They think that they're slacking off, but I guess they get an additional amount of time allotted for each scheduled pickup that they're assigned.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, no, I get more time to do my round. I get a little overtime out of it. So, you know, you schedule as many pickups as you want.
So, okay. It helps me out, bro.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Welcome to Mailcast.
Indeed. Where we always deliver.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah. I've had some coffee. I'm a little alert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We got any feedback? Because we're like 35 minutes in, and two episodes to cover.
Yeah. I posted that we were going to talk, and then I asked people what they were more excited for, Kenobi or Strange New Worlds, because that's how I am. Overall, oddly enough, in a Star Trek group and Star Trek Twitter account, people are more excited for Star Trek. Weird.
Weird. Who'd have thunk it?
Who would have thought? Yeah. So everyone did say, though, basically that they're excited for both. You know, they are excited for Strange New Worlds. The general consensus is for both shows. I hope they don't mess it up, which is accurate, you know.
Yeah.
Taryn did say he thought Discovery was actually very Star Trek this week. And thought,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, holy shit. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the show I want to see.
Exactly. This is like the first episode of Discovery in I don't know how long.
Yeah.
That I was actually enjoying it.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll talk about it when we get to that point.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Also, he says, he talks about Q bitch slapping Picard.
Yeah.
We're going to have to talk about that. That was brought up in the Will Wheaton show.
Yep. So. Yep.
Yeah.
He punched him Cisco style.
Yeah. Well, he learned, right?
Yep.
What do they say? Like, you get abused and then you become the abuser?
That's it.
That's what happened. Yeah. I ran a poll on the Twitter account. You know, what are people more excited about? Strange New Worlds, Kenobi, or both? I love them both. I love them both got 53%, 54%. Yeah.
All right.
And then next was Strange New Worlds. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Seems about right. Yeah. That's all the feedback I've got.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about some Star Trek.
Let's talk
about. You want to talk about Discovery first?
Yeah, let's get Discovery out of the way. And then, because I know more about Picard because of the Will Wheaton show. So.
All right. Cool. Yeah.
So this is the penultimate for the season. The season finale is next week, and we got to, you know, let's see, what have we done in the past few days or past few episodes? We went down to the planet and did drugs, and then we came back and talked to our friends about our drug experience and how it expanded our minds, and now we understand our friends. And this episode, we'll now learn to talk to the new people, the C-10s or whatever they are.
Yep, yep. So they were, I don't want to say they were talking to them, but they were expressing emotions to them through those, what were they? The chemicals.
Like lights and chemicals. And
Yeah. So that was kind of cool. Then when they started using math to communicate, that was very Star Trek. That was very science. It's often said that, you know, science is the universal constant in the
math
in the universe. Or excuse me. Yes. Math is a universal constant. I remember, I think there was an episode of TNG. I think there was an episode where Picard was, I think it was the one where he was being held with three other prisoners and they couldn't figure out what relation the prisoners had to each other. And I think he was tapping on the control panel and they're like, what are you doing? And he says, I'm tapping out the first 10 digits of pi to show our captors that we're intelligent. We're not just animals or whatever. And this, you know, watching this episode, it made me think of that, you know, they've done this before, showing that math is the key to, it's a universal language that any intelligent life form could understand.
So. My brother-in-law is a college level math teacher, right? Yep. And him and I go round and round because it's a debate that they have in their own field, whether math was discovered or invented.
Mm.
And it's kind of an interesting debate either way. So
this is like that other one that's going on right now. I mean, it's not like it. It's like it in that, you know, you think you have it figured out, and then you think, you know, well, maybe not. The debate is, which are there more of in the world? Wheels or doors? Have you heard this
one? Ooh, no, that's...
And people will start, they'll start making an argument, and they'll say, well, you know, every house has a door. Every house has a front door. Every door has a back door. But every car has four wheels. But every car also has at least two doors. Some of them have four doors. But the trunk is also...
Hood or the hood or the...
Well, the trunk is also a door. Well, the glove box has a door. Well, hold on. But an engine has gears, and each gear is a wheel.
Mm-hmm. It's just, or a bike has gears and a bike has wheels. A bike
has gears. It has wheels. Yep.
I got a family get together today. I'm going to bring this up.
Yep. Bring that one up. I read an article about it, and it's like the one paragraph of the article is making the argument for doors, and you're like, yeah, there's got to be more doors. Because then it's like, okay, well, you know, if you think about, I mean, technically the word door is the object you open to pass through a doorway, but people will refer to a doorway as a door. So is it, you know, is it, if that's the case, then your living room has two doors. You walk through one door to get in, you walk through another door to get out on the other side.
Right.
You know, so if you're counting doorways as doors.
Well, then in your house, you've got bedroom doors, you got bathroom doors.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
Pantry door.
But all the cabinets.
Yeah, all the cabinets have doors.
The refrigerator has two doors.
But and then I think about like a hotel, right? A hotel, like big hotels have hundreds of doors.
Okay, but they also have hundreds of beds, and each bed has four wheels.
In theory. most have like just pegs and they're in a stationary position.
Yep, but then if you go to a manufacturing plant, they have those platforms that they slide the product down.
Right.
So you have a table that has 500 wheels on
That's true. All right, everybody. Doors or wheels? What's there more of? Message us and let us know.
Yeah, you should put that poll up in the group as well.
That might be the show just name. Are there more doors or wheels? Just see what people say.
Oh, man.
Huh, that's an interesting debate. I like this.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We talked about was math discovered or invented. We talked about that for about 7 seconds.
Yeah.
And then we spent the last 5 minutes on doors or wheels.
I mean, I like a wheel of cheese. You're not having a door of cheese.
There you go.
So what else happened with Disco? So Advent they all calendars. Got to get...
Every advent calendar has 31 doors on it.
That's true.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
In my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
That's true. Huh. Killing me.
It's gonna bother you.
Yeah, it is gonna bother me. See what else. So they all got together as a crew because they determined that everyone in the crew kind of gave a little bit of their insight and experience to figure out what the chemical reactions on the planet meant. So maybe it was the same idea to understand the communication that the species was giving them. And it worked, and it was kind of cool how they all brought an idea and they put it together, and that's how they solved the problem. They very much worked as a crew. For some reason, I got it in my head as I was watching that scene that it was very G.I. Joe. Because, like, in G.I. Joe, they all have their specialties, and they all work together to stop something or do something. So, like, I just felt like, oh, it's like G.I. Joe. They're coming together to do their thing.
There was no public service announcement at the end.
Oh, you didn't watch the end? No, I'm kidding. Yeah. So, but ultimately, what's his name? Tarka? Yep. Toka? Toka and Rezar, whatever his name is.
Tarka.
Yeah. The bad guy with a U on his head. He basically just blew everything up, literally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were getting somewhere. They were communicating with the 10C. And then he blew a hole in the bubble and tractor beamed his ship away from Discovery and pissed off the 10C, and the 10C beamed them back, and so we don't know. I like how they called it a reverse tractor beam. I'm pretty sure they've called it a repulsor beam.
I mean, that makes more sense.
Yeah, but whatever, they're unshackled by canon.
I guarantee you they debated in the writer's room. Well, we've called it before a repulsor beam. Yeah, nobody knows what that is. Just call it a reverse tractor beam.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guarantee that's what happened. So they got out of there. So once again, though, for our season finale, we've got a lot of loose ends to wrap up.
Yeah.
So it's going to be pretty quick pace.
Well, unless they don't.
They've done that before, too, haven't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, that's what that was the old formula. The old formula was, 24 only semi-connected shows, and then the last episode was the first part of a two-parter with a big cliffhanger.
Right.
That was the 90s era formula. So I kind of hope they don't do that, because then it's like, can't have your cake and eat it too. If you're going to give us one 10-part story, you got to give us the whole story.
Right.
So.
Oh, man. How do we think it's going to end? What do you think is going to happen? Are they going to destroy Vulcan, Navarre in this timeline as well?
Oh, wow.
Think of it this way. They've already got the rendered files to throw it in and just do it again.
They already have the what?
The rendered special effects files from the movie.
Oh, okay.
So, like, it wouldn't be much for them to do that.
Yeah, they'll just turn it around. They'll mirror it so it looks like it's coming from a different angle.
Right.
I don't know. There's a part of me... There's a part of me that says it should be Earth, the way, the way that general has been acting the last few episodes. But, it's Earth. I don't want to see Earth destroyed. It's Earth. Right. The Federation is Earth.
Right.
But
it's not anymore.
She's got it coming.
So the whole world has to pay for her sins.
Yeah, the whole world should pay for her sins. My world. The future of my world should pay for her disloyalty.
You want to say goodbye to Sandusky, Ohio, because this lady's a jerk.
Yep, that's it. You should have thought of that.
Yeah.
General jerk lady. Yeah, what do you think is going to happen to her? I don't think she's going to survive. I think she's going to get her to some.
I think she will survive. I think somehow she'll live. I think they'll catch on to her and then she'll be in trouble. And then she can claim diplomatic immunity. Right. So then it won't matter.
Do you think Michael will shoot her right between the eyes and tell her it's been revoked?
Consider that a divorce.
She's gonna Danny Glover him. Danny Glover her.
That would be awesome, but I don't think that's gonna happen. I think he's done. I think Book is dead.
You think so?
I think he is dead, and I think Michael becomes Cat Lady with her with Grudge.
You know, that would allow her to continue crying every episode.
Right.
If Book dies. So I mean,
she gets a boyfriend for 2 seasons and then it's time for a new one. So Book is on season 2 for him. Yeah. So it's time for a new boyfriend.
So I kind of, what you talked about before with Strange New Worlds,
yeah,
and Discovery coming back, I would kind of be okay with that, because them returning to the past would mean that the future that Discovery has shown us is not set in stone, which would then put Picard at the frontier of Star Trek.
Yeah.
Discovery would essentially become an alternate timeline, and I'm okay with that.
I think ultimately that's what they're going for, because they have mentioned multiple timelines and dimensions. You know, the Emperor is going back through different timelines or whatever and all that. I think that's going to be their ultimate goal, just so then they can stop worrying about fanboys on the internet bitching about canon.
Yeah. Just close the loop.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd be okay with that.
Yeah. So I think that's happening. I think if they go back, it shouldn't be with the ship, because there's that Calypso episode where they leave the ship.
Yeah.
So I think whenever they do that, if that's like the end of the series, right? That somehow they make their way back home.
Well, that's probably going to be the big decision in the last episode. Do we go home? We have this chance to go home. Well, right. we can't bring the ship. You know, temporal prime directive or whatever. You can't.
Well, they've already said that they can't have that technology.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They can't bring that technology. Back to the 23rd century, excuse me, yeah. That would affect the timeline. So they would have to leave the ship. So maybe that's why the ship is uninhabited in that Calypso episode, because the crew left it behind when they...
If they even care about that.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
But yeah, I would be okay with that.
Yeah.
Close the loop.
So a couple years ago we talked about how they're probably building up to some sort of Avengers style multi-show thing with all the crews or something like along those lines. Do we still think they're doing that? Because it doesn't feel that way anymore.
It does not. However, they really could do most of that within Picard.
Yeah.
Okay. The majority of Star Trek out there takes place in the 24th century, the early 25th century. Mm-hmm. There was, you know, 4 seasons of Enterprise, 4 seasons of, excuse me, of the original series, you know, 6 TOS era movies. But, you know, when you're talking about TNG era Trek, I mean, there's 21 seasons of that stuff and 4 movies and, you know, 2 seasons of Picard. You know, the majority of Star Trek, that's where it takes place.
Right.
You know, Patrick Stewart's still around. Avery Brooks is still around. He's not, you know, he's not acting, but he's not dead. You know, they could entice him to come out of retirement. Kate Mulgrew is
still active.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, if they were to get Picard, Sisko, and Janeway in a scene together, That would be their Avengers.
That would be, yeah.
And it's doable. They could totally do it.
Dude, I would love to see Jake back.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I wonder if we'll get any of those guys popping up in these alternate timelines on Picard.
Well, I mean, they dropped a shitload of Easter eggs.
Well, we should talk about the episode.
And references.
Yeah.
The episode
yeah. So we got episode 2 of Picard, season 2. It was called Penance. And basically we got more about what Q's after. Q tells Picard that this isn't a lesson, this isn't a trial, this is a penance. And then he bitch slaps him pretty hard.
Yeah.
And Picard looks shocked because he wasn't expecting that from Daddy.
Well, and it's the same look that Q had when Sisko bitch slapped him. Like, you hit me.
Yeah. Yeah. And so then Picard is taken to a very totalitarian regime where Picard is like the leader of the Death Squads as humans have cleansed the galaxy of alien races and have Romulan slaves. And it's no bueno.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ends up everyone from the La Serenia crew is there. Raffi, Rios, Girardi, all of them. They're all there. They're all hanging out. They're
we don't know confused. If Robo Girl is there. What's her name?
Soji.
Soji.
Yeah.
We don't know if she made the jump with them.
Yeah, we don't know that yet. Seven is the president of the totalitarian government. Yeah. Is it the mirror universe or is it like the mirror universe, you think?
I don't think it's the mirror universe. I think it's an alternate timeline, but I don't think it's the mirror universe, and there's a couple reasons why. Sisko, I mean, they name dropped Sisko. They said
General Sisko.
Unless they're talking about Jake, you know, Jake could have followed in Daddy's footsteps. No, because it's not following in Daddy's footsteps, because the Benjamin Sisko of the mirror universe is dead.
He wasn't
a military man.
He was a space pirate.
Yeah, he was like a smuggler or something. Yeah. So I don't think it's the mirror universe. Yeah, I don't think it is.
I thought about if he's a general, and in our universe we have Colonel Sanders, then we should have General Sisko's fried jambalaya.
Okay. All right. So it's General Joseph Sisko.
Yeah. There you go.
Yes. You know, now that I think about it, I don't think Soji is there maybe because in this timeline, the cybernetics did not advance to the point where she is possible. She wasn't born. She doesn't come from a bloodline.
Right.
She's created.
Yeah.
So... maybe that's why she's not there. We'll see.
Yeah. I just thought it would be funny if like a Roomba pops out and they're like, oh, it's Soji.
Yeah. It's a Roomba.
We did have Patton Oswalt as a cat. That was kind of cool.
I heard that. Yeah. Yep.
So that's neat that he has moved up from Ratatouille, from a rat to a cat.
And it's weird because, you know, he's a hologram, but he looks like a two-dimensional cartoon.
Yeah,
he's literally a two-dimensional hologram.
He's a flash animation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. And he's not playing a character. He's just being Patton Oswalt as a cat.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool.
Long story short, synopsis-wise, you know, Q shifts them to a different timeline where the Federation is the Confederation.
Yes.
A xenophobic empire that subjugates other races.
A safe galaxy is a human galaxy.
Yes, exactly. It sounded very Palpatine.
Yes.
It sounded very, very Palpatine. and they somehow become aware that it's due to a shift in the timeline. Something occurred, something that wasn't supposed to occur.
In 2024.
In 2024, which is essentially now.
Yeah.
And they have to go back in time in order to do that. They need the Borg Queen, who is scheduled for execution. And, you know, it's a jailbreak. Most right. of the episode is a jailbreak episode. So they're able to recall Rios. And
because Rios is like a squad commander or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yep. I think he's a colonel. I think he's Colonel Rios. Hmm. Yeah, he's able to beam them to the La Serena, and they're gonna do their time travel thing and go back in time to 2020.
Well, and they need the Borg Queen because there's a Borg Queen that Picard is supposed to execute. She's the last yep. of the Borg, and they bring her along because they're gonna basically use her as a giant computer to time travel, because that's all it takes to time travel. You don't need a DeLorean anymore.
Nope, you just need a Borg Queen. It was interesting. They said that the Borg Queen has an awareness
of other dimensions.
It transcends timelines.
Which kind of fits because they had those.
Go ahead.
I was going to say it kind of fits because they always had the temporal gateways that the Borg could use, and those conduits that they traveled faster than light or faster than warp.
Yep.
So it makes sense.
They had the transwarp conduits. They used time travel in 1996 to try and conquer the Federation before it existed.
Yeah.
Which, that was a good movie. That was a good story. But they would, you know, I can't help but think that they would totally Skynet it and just, you know, all right, it didn't work. Send another Terminator.
Right.
All right, it didn't work. Send another Terminator.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, where now it's like 400 Terminators running around in 1984 looking for this kid. But it's actually the same Terminator from, you know, they just sent him an hour later.
But, yeah, they would do that, wouldn't they?
Yeah. So, so she has this awareness. So she's the one who tells them that something changed in 2024.
So they need to go back. Like she says, like in LA, 2024.
Yep. And she says, seek the Watcher or something to that effect.
Yeah, something like that. Seek the Watcher.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure she's talking about Guinan.
Maybe.
They've shown in the past that Guinan also has the ability to sense changes in the timeline.
That's true.
And things that shouldn't be. The last time... If you look at a timeline, if you look at the Star Trek timeline, there's this gap between the 1850s mm-hmm. and the 24th century, where the only time we see Guinan in the 1850s hanging out with Samuel Clemens. We see her in the 23rd century being rescued by the Enterprise B. And we see her in season 2, I think, of TNG. That's all there is on that time period
mm-hmm.
on the timeline. So in 2024, her last known location was Southern California.
Right. So
maybe she's been living in Southern California for 100 and something years at that point, 200 years at that point.
You know, when they said the Watcher, my first thought was the Visitor. The one that took Wesley.
The Traveler,
yeah.
Yeah.
That was the Watcher. Also, though, like, Data had a whole other daughter, and we never talked about that either, so.
Yeah.
The Watcher could be somebody completely different.
I'm going to stick with Guinan.
It's Reg. It's Barkley.
It's Reg. It's Reg. I'm going to stick with Guinan only because, you know, they reintroduced her the episode before. So I don't think she's a one-time thing.
You know what? Canonically speaking, we have had a Watcher before. Riker. in Enterprise, the season finale.
Oh, yeah. So another thing is, another reason I think it's going to be her is in the previous episode, Picard walks up behind her and without seeing him, she knows he's there.
Yeah.
Now you can chalk that up to, you could chalk that up to, there's a couple ways that could work. She has a different awareness, so she just sensed his presence. That's one way. The other way is it's a bar, so behind the bar there's a mirror, and she's right. Walking. But the other one is, if she is involved in the events in 2024, that is her past at that point in that episode, and she remembers those events already. And she knows that on April 4th in the year, on star date such and such, Jean-Luc Picard is going to walk into the bar and talk to her about something. And I can't tell him about. They already have this relationship where they've met multiple times.
Right.
And, you know, we see that for him, it's the first time. For her, it's the first time. But their first time meeting is not the same for each of them. They each have a first time.
I know you won't get this, but some of the audience will. She's Riversong.
She's what?
So I know you wouldn't get this, but it's from Doctor Who. In Doctor Who, there is a character that is supposed to be the wife of the Doctor, and they met each other once, and then they're time traveling in opposite directions, and it's Riversong. So she is his Riversong. They meet different times in different ways.
Hmm. All right. It's like that movie, The Time Traveler's Wife. I don't know if you ever saw
that
one.
I never saw it.
That was a good one. You should see that. So, yeah, that's my theory, that they're talking in the bar. She already knows that he's going to travel back to 2024 tomorrow, and she can't talk about it.
Yeah, maybe. It would fit, at least. There's potential for it.
Yeah.
Do we think we will see anyone else from TNG or any of the other Star Trek shows that we haven't seen yet?
I feel like, and I only watched it once, I feel like the announcer at the Murder Day celebration or whatever the hell they were calling
it. Yeah.
I feel like that was Brent Spiner. I thought that was his voice.
Well, he is in the show at some point.
I know he is at some point.
Yeah.
But did they? I was falling asleep at the end. Did they travel back yet, or did they just escape? They didn't. Yeah, I think they just warped away.
They escaped.
Okay.
They escaped because in the Will Wheaton show, they showed a clip, and they were about to time travel in the clip.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So, I mean, the character that Brent Spiner played last season, I mean, he could be in that terrible future.
Yeah, he was his own grandpa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he could be there. He probably doesn't have the same awareness that they do.
Right.
Actually, oh, wow. I just had a thought.
What's up?
What if Data didn't die in this timeline?
Ooh.
And he's actually playing Data, who now looks human.
Because it's totalitarian and they're evil, right? It's not Data. No. It's not Data. It's deletion.
It's deletion.
And he wears like a spike jacket.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's time travel. It's an alternate timeline. They can really do whatever. They're unshackled by canon.
That's right.
They're unshackled.
I just like the idea of deletion.
Yeah. All right. So Easter eggs.
Yeah. There was quite a few.
Yeah. Let's go back and forth. You call one out. I'll call one out.
Let's see. I've got an Easter egg thing up here. They were celebrating Eradication Day.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's supposed to be like First Contact Day. That's a big deal in the
Federation. Apparently it's the time we kill somebody for fun. Yeah. Oh, you were right. The voice speaking the words was Brent Spiner.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So.
Wow. Go me.
And the lines were attributed to a character named Adam.
Adam Sung?
Yes.
Okay. Because the guy we saw last season was that Adam Sung? No, it's Eric Sung?
I don't even remember, man.
Yeah, I don't know. Or was Eric Sung the one from Enterprise?
But this Den of Geeks article says we will see Adam Sung in the flesh at some point in the season.
Okay.
So.
All right. So Picard's trophy room was just a treasure trove of Easter eggs and
so many Easter eggs
and callbacks. So he has a collection of skulls.
Yeah.
One belonging to Gul Dukat.
Yeah.
Who they said in this timeline, he is the reason for. I didn't understand if Q was saying he's the reason for your artificial body or if he's the reason for your artificial heart. Like, is he still an android?
I thought he meant
body. You think so? Yeah. Okay.
Right. In the Will Wheaton show, they talked to the props department specifically about that scene. And apparently, it was originally written that it was going to be a collection of armors from different people that he's killed. And the props department went, look, we can do that, but it would be easier and meaner to do skulls.
Yeah.
And the writers and the producers just went, oh, that's cool. Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, yeah. So we saw Gul Dukat's skull. We saw General Martok's skull.
Yeah, he killed Martok.
Yeah, which, you know, I don't know what this says about me, but I want a Klingon skull for my desk.
It did look cool.
Yeah.
There
was a Borg. They didn't say if it was any specific Borg, but there was a Borg. There was Sarek.
Yeah.
And they said that he decapitated him in front of his wife and son, which could be a reference to Spock. It doesn't have to be. Sarek loved them ladies.
Yeah, and he did. It was only logical.
So there was
a Ferengi skull.
There was a Ferengi skull, and if you look next to the Ferengi skull, it was the Grand Nagus scepter was there as well.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to hypothesize that this was Grand Nagus Zek.
You know,
because he was pretty old.
There's a lot of them it could have been. Because it could have been the Nagus. But I thought about that one Ferengi that thought he was going to kill Picard's son.
Oh,
I forget his name.
Damon Bach?
Yeah. What if it was that dude?
Yeah. But I don't think he has the Grand Nagus Scepter.
I mean, who's to say that he didn't kill them both, and one of the skulls is one guy and the scepter's there, too. Yeah.
I suppose. We saw some Cardassian armor.
Yeah.
We saw some Klingon weapons. We saw some disruptors. I mean, there was a whole bunch of stuff hanging in there.
Yeah.
So they name dropped General Sisko.
They did.
What else we have Easter egg wise?
Oof.
Oh, okay. This was big.
Yeah.
So Q said a couple of curious things.
Uh-huh.
Which, like fourth wall breaking things.
Okay.
Picard says something. Picard says, where's the crew of the La Serena? What did you do with them? Or something to that effect.
Yeah.
And he says, oh, how very yesterday's Enterprise.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
That was really.
What's that?
That was really forced for him to say it that way.
Yeah. So. It's like that's a title of an episode of Star Trek.
Yeah.
So is he, as an omnipotent being, is he aware that there's a reality somewhere where all of these events are just a TV show that we're watching? Or was that just a wink and a nod to the people at home And if it's just a wink and a nod to people at home, what does the statement mean in universe? It's right. A very odd statement, yesterday's Enterprise. Especially then later on, he says, and yesterday's Enterprise is, we never saw the mirror universe in TNG, but yesterday's Enterprise is the episode that is the closest to a mirror universe episode. It was similar to this episode in that, the Federation is at war with a bunch of people who are supposed to be their allies.
Right.
And then he also says the phrase "in a mirror darkly," which is a reference to Alice in Wonderland through the Looking Glass, mm-hmm. which many of the mirror mirror universe episodes, the titles were play on words from phrases from Alice in Wonderland. And A Mirror Darkly is the name of the Enterprise Mirror Universe episode from the last season of Star Trek Enterprise.
That's
two episode names that he dropped within a few minutes of each other.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, in the Will Wheaton show, when they were interviewing Delancey, it was really funny because they were very clearly dancing around stuff, right? Because he can't say everything.
Yeah.
And Delancey said that in this whole season, Q needs Picard, something out of Picard. And the only way that Q can get it is to make Picard experience these things. Because if he just explained it to him, Picard wouldn't get it.
Yeah.
So he has to go through this to understand whatever Q is after. He said that Q is slightly depowered. He's getting older. And there's something up with that. I don't know if it's going to play into the season or it's just Q's getting older. But whatever. The other thing that he mentioned is there is going to be a big revelation at the end of the season as to why everything is happening and why it matters to Q. Which, duh, right? I mean, that's kind of how these things go. We'll see. Yeah.
Okay. What else we got?
Let's see, what else? He talked about... I mean, Will Wheaton was super excited to have Q on the show. It was interesting that they brought up Q had a wife, like in that Voyager episode. Remember, there was the lady Q. They brought her up quite a bit, and I don't feel like they would do that if there wasn't a reason for that. And they also mentioned the son of Q, which is the actual son of Delancey. So I'm wondering if all that's going to come back in at some point, because I don't think they would just bring that up to bring it up.
Yeah.
Especially on these shows.
And those events, they were very Voyager specific events. So I'm still holding out hope that we're going to see a Kate Mulgrew surprise appearance.
I mean, she's under the umbrella already.
So. Yeah. So, we talked about it before. They could have their Avengers moment.
Right.
Yeah.
She just shows up and talks to Picard like she did in First Contact or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole Will Wheaton show this week was structured very oddly. Like, they did three main segments, right? They did a segment about the props, then they did the interview with Delancey, and then they did like some sort of like recap of who Q is.
Yeah.
So for me, like, I would have structured that as who is Q, the Delancey interview, and then the props. But whatever. The other thing that they brought up that I kind of thought was interesting is Delancey did mention that this is a different take on Q, that it's not going to be the same way. He's not as goofy and fun as you had seen in the past.
Yeah.
And he said that works for a couple different ways. One, it's just a storyline. It makes more sense to. But two, he wanted to play him a little bit different and the material called for it. So he didn't want to do the same thing twice, which as an actor I get, but as, you know, as a fan, we want to see the same thing. So, you know, whatever, I get it. He mentioned why that's difficult, though, and I thought it was an interesting thing. He did say as an actor, it's really tough to play the character the same way, even though people want that, because one, it's a different crew and cast. So the vibe on set is different.
Yeah.
The producers and the writers and the directors are different people than what was before. And he's in a different space mentally as an adult, as a person. So like, it's really hard to recapture that. So it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. So I don't know. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I hope the rest of the season doesn't take place in 2024.
Yeah.
I'd like to see, you know, perhaps they fix something there and they create a different problem in the process and have to fix that too and travel to a different time period. I'd be okay with something like that. You know, like they keep coming back to the future. Nope, that wasn't it.
Yeah.
And they travel again.
Picard Quantum Leap.
yeah. Because you could really, I mean, if they're traveling back to the present, the 25th century, you know, and things aren't right, they could really show us anything there, and it doesn't matter because they're going to fix it in the following episode. So even, you know, people who are gone.
Yeah.
You know, we could see Tasha Yar again.
Yeah. Again.
You know, for 15. We could see a Tasha Yar again.
Well, it's not an alternate timeline for TNG unless Tasha's there.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. I just want to know if O'Brien is still teaching at the Academy and how many times a week he has lunch with Captain Picard. That's really all I want to know. Is it like a cafeteria and, you know, the cadets sit on this side and the instructors sit on that side and, you know, I don't know.
I
just want to see Bashir and O'Brien dressed as fighter pilots.
There you go.
Leaving the cafeteria at Starfleet Academy because Bashir is, you know, Bashir gets 2 weeks of vacation a year and he always takes it on Earth to you know, battle the Russians or whatever on the holodeck with Miles.
They should have Bashir walking out of a holodeck just in the background dressed as like his Game of Thrones character and then do it again where he's dressed as Ra's al Ghul from Gotham. Just kind of like a wink and a nod to those things, you know?
Yeah.
I think that all I want is at the end when everything's all fixed and happy that Q celebrates with his mariachi band.
Yes.
Because I need that.
Bring back the mariachi band.
Yes. That's all I want.
I'm down with that.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I think that's it.
All right. So remember, wheels, doors, mariachi bands.
That's all.
Make it so.
Awesome.
All right. Well, so hopefully we'll have Chad. Yeah, hopefully we'll have Chad back next week.
Yeah.
And things will, you know, the dynamic will go back to normal.
He can apologize for leaving us.
He can apologize for leaving us. And, yeah, I think that's it.
You know what I want?
So,
I want him to apologize like the way Archer had to with the thing on his head and, like, putting stone and saying poetry. That's the apology I want.
Smearing Vaseline on his chest and doing the goofy dance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know he's going to hear this, so he'll laugh at that.
Yep. So,
guys, if you want Chad to apologize that way.
Yes. If you want to see Chad smear his chest with petroleum jelly, then
put that in the Discord and in the Facebook group. Let him know. That's the apology you want.
Let him know.
Yeah. Tag him in it so he sees it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
All right.
All right. Live long and prosper.
Indeed.
See you next week.
All right. Bye.
Well, there you have it, another episode in the can. Check us out at trekcast.com. Also, if you would, please subscribe to us via iTunes. Leave those reviews, subscribe to us, we'll get some numbers, get up the list, get more listeners, do more shows, have more fun. But for now, we're all done. So live long and prosper, and we'll see you next week.
I'm on my way.
We'll be entering the wormhole in about an hour. And
well, I ain't got that long. I got about 15 minutes.
By the time we have an open invitation.
Renee?
Yes?
Can I do this?
Yes.
Oh.
Bring them back, Q. Now!
Or what? What? You'll ravish me? Ravish, I'm sorry.
I might.